so very much.
Thank you. Praise the Lord, everybody. I don't know what I'm doing up here. I just want to be a mama. That's all. And I want to take that baby home. I've been wanting to hold him all weekend. And he finally fell asleep today. I saw him, but he was awake, and I was afraid he wouldn't go to me. So when he's asleep, I think I kissed him about 100 times. He's probably got bruises on his head. You may be seated. Thank you for having me come. It is an honor, an absolute honor to be here. Actually, my husband and I feel like we've been on vacation. I text my pastor and I said, you know what? I love Alabama. I wish I could stay here for a couple weeks and just write. And he texted me back and he said, I'm glad you're not. And there's nothing like a pastor that doesn't want you to go. So I was thinking, though, when I was sitting over there, something about I read out of the book of Exodus. You know how when the Israelites are coming out of Egypt and they're going into Canaan land? Well, I was reading the other day and I thought it was pretty fascinating because did you know that it was only 240 miles from Egypt to Canaan land? And what scholars say, it actually only should have taken them 11 days. And it took them 40 years. And as I was sitting back there, I thought, you know what, God? I don't want to take 40 years going round and round and round and round, learning the same stuff over and over and over. I just don't. There's no time for that. And so teach me in 11 years, because I want to make it to Canaan land. Don't you? I have something I really want to share with you today. And it's actually out of 1 Kings chapter 19. And I'm just going to give you a little bit of background. You remember that prophet Elijah? He's kind of an interesting man, kind of grumpy from when you're reading the scripture. He's kind of grumpy. He just had this amazing victory against the false god of Baal. Remember that? So this amazing victory, and then there's this fire that comes down and it consumes the offering, and then he wins, and we all win, and then he kills the prophets of Baal, and then Queen Jezebel, remember, she gets mad? And this man's just done this amazing thing. She gets mad, and what does the Bible say he does? He goes and hides. And I don't blame him. That took a lot of work, you know? Having to do all that weight on them as they're cutting themselves and then finally do the whole thing and then having to go kill all those prophets, I'd be tired too. And it's kind of depressing. So I can't say I blame him for running and hiding. But what I thought was so interesting is that God didn't really pamper him. And God tells him, get up out of that cave, and I want you to anoint your successor. So that's kind of interesting, you know? You think this amazing thing happens. He kills all these prophets, and then he goes into a cave, and what does God say? Get up, because I've got somebody else to take your place. Kind of interesting. I want to read those scriptures with you, if we can all stand. Found in 1 Kings chapter 19, 15 through 21. We're going to read it in the NIV, if you don't mind. And it says, the Lord said to him, go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. Okay, he's telling Elijah this. Go back to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu, son of Nishmi, king of Israel, and anoint Elijah, son of Shaphat, from Abel-Meholah, to succeed you as a prophet. Jehu will put to death any who escaped the sword of Hazael, and Elisha will put to death any who escaped the sword of Jehu. Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal and whose mouths have not kissed him. In verse 19, so Elijah went from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driven the 12th pair. Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. And Elijah then left his oxen and ran after Elisha, Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye, he said. And then I'll come with you. And Elijah replies, go back. What have I done to you? And what he's really saying is, think about what I just did. That's what he's saying. So verse 21 says, so Elijah left him and went back. And he took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. And he burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people. And they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and became his servant. Brother Sutton, would you mind praying?
Mighty God, we love your word. We appreciate your presence, God. We need you, Lord. Touch our hearts and our minds and our ears. Help us to receive your word tonight. Pray and anoint and bless your vessel tonight. Help us, God, walk in places that we love in this house. We ask it in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. Amen.
You may be seated. Now, I'm not going to be long tonight, believe it or not, even though I'm a woman, because I want to get back to kissing that baby. But I want you to notice something with those beautiful scriptures. Did you notice that God didn't choose some amazing man of God when he chose Elijah? He didn't say, I want you to go up to the mountain and I want you to choose somebody that just came out of seminary. Did you notice that? I love that because that gives me hope. He tells Elijah to go back to the desert. Did you notice that the anointing didn't take place on the mountain? That it took place in the desert? God's trying to talk to us right here. It takes place in the desert. The call of Elijah occurred when Elijah was going about his daily work. He's just like you and me. He's a farmer. He's just doing his stuff. He's behind 12 oxen. That's what he's doing. When God calls us to something, when I saw that, I thought, you know what, God, you're really amazing. Because when you call us to something and you move us from this different realm of service, you don't do that from a place of prominence a lot of times. It's not the king. It's not the prime person. No. You read the scriptures. But he calls somebody out of the place of insignificance. It's that person that was cleaning the bathroom. And that just made themselves available. It's the place sometimes in our life, and I was there, I have been there, I can be there, when we think that nothing's happening. We come to church, we're faithful, we're paying our tithes, we're doing our stuff, we're cleaning the bathroom, we're in charge of the vacuuming. Nothing's really happening like, you know, something like major that's like a wow thing in our life. We've all been there. It's kind of like the place where you can hardly keep your momentum up. It's just you're there. Do you know what I'm saying? It's talking to these ladies today, it was such an honor for me. But it's kind of where you're at sometimes. You get up and you go to work. You do your best cleaning the house. You're raising children to love God. And then you just say, but what about me? We've all been there. God, what about my dreams? Sometimes it's a marriage where we want to just kind of give up because it's hard. Things aren't going quite like we thought. We've been faithful. Or maybe it could be that, you know what, God, I've stayed pure. Where's my wife? Where's my husband? I'm here. It's that dry place when you think God has forsaken you. Has anybody felt like that? Anybody had a dry place like, God, where are you? Here I am. I'm just doing the right things. Well, I'm here to let you know that he knows exactly where you are and what he's doing. He really does. He really does. Elijah was standing in the back of 12 oxen, folks, when he was found. Not in the front of 12 oxen, not in the side of 12 oxen. He was behind 12 oxen. And what happens behind 12 oxen? There's a whole lot of manure going on, folks, behind 12 oxen. A whole lot of it. And you know what? You're stepping deep, deep, knee deep, matter of fact, in the stuff. Now, we've all been there. That's how we feel sometimes. We're like living life. Yeah, in the field behind 12 oxen. Deep. It's one of those things that you can't even go to the carpet or you can't even go outside and wipe your feet because it's everywhere. Well, what would happen, though? When I saw that scripture, I thought, you know, what would have happened if Elijah wouldn't have been there, though? What would have happened if he said, you know what? I deserve more than this. I had greater things to do than to be behind 12 oxen. I mean, I'm somebody important. Do you know what I mean? Because maybe I got a degree, or maybe I did this, or maybe I come from a family of this. And so I shouldn't be behind 12 oxen. Right? Well, what if Elijah decided that he was going to go down a different road? He would have missed God's will for his life. Sometimes we think, I do too. No big deal. I'm just going to miss church tonight. Or maybe they ask me to do something and I think, you know what, it's okay. I just really don't feel like I need to take a sabbatical, so I don't want to do that. And so maybe next year I'll do that. And so we stay home. Right? We've all been there. We stay home exactly when God chooses that service, like this service, to catapult you to your destiny. You're behind 12 oxen, and he says, okay, it's you, and he throws the cloak. The only deal is the reason why people don't grab the cloak is because he ain't there. Because he's out there, and he really has something for us to do. But if we stay home, we're going to miss it. If we're not in the right place and we're in some other field plowing somebody else's oxen, then we're not there to get the cloak. Now, I think it's interesting when you read the scripture, and I love the scripture. But Elijah was Elijah's servant for 10 years after he was anointed. Okay, so can you picture? You're out there, you got this 12, you're in the deep stuff, you know, and you're sloshing around that thing hoping something grows. And then he throws you this cloak, and you grab this cloak, and you're anointed, and you're the successor. And then you burn your cattle, and you burn your stuff, and you feed everybody. And they say, where are you going? I am going to be Elijah's servant for 10 years. I've been chosen to carry the luggage. Kind of interesting when you think about it, huh? 10 years. That's what he gave all of it up for. To be Elijah's servant. I don't know, but when I read the scripture, I think to myself, I'm not so sure what I would do. Sometimes Elijah would say kind of rude things. Remember when they're going up that hill and they're traveling? 3 times he turns around to Elisha. Remember? And he tells him. What does he tell him? Go home. It's like, excuse me? I'm volunteering in the choir. Excuse me, but I volunteer to carry your luggage. I'm cooking your stuff. I'm washing the clothes. And he turns to you and says, go home. And the Bible says Elijah just keeps on going. Remember? And then Elijah, they go farther. And I can just see it. You know, you're sweating, you know. And, you know, did we have to bring so much luggage, you know? And then he turns around. He says, go home. I don't know. I'm just not all that spiritual. I think I'd go home. But he didn't go home. And what does he do? He keeps on doing it. He just keeps on, and he keeps on 3 times. And then what happens? After the 3rd time, he tells him to go home, and then Elijah, such a nice, kind man, he turns around and says, what do you want? And he wants a double portion. What do you want? I want a double portion. Sometimes as saints, now I'm not a minister. I'm good. I'm a woman. I like being a woman. I like being an old woman. I just want to hold babies and kiss them and all that kind of stuff. I like just to cook and sit at home and just do nothing when I can. However, we all get upset sometimes over pretty dumb stuff. We do. And some people leave church and they get disconnected from the very place their destiny lies. We've all know great people, talented people that were in church and loved God, and they used to be Christians. They get off track, and they're nowhere near where they should be. They leave their place right here because someone said something or did something that offended them. How many of you guys been offended? I had a lady the other day. I was at the altar. I had these really cute boots. I really did. They're really cute. And I was praying with someone. She came up and she knocked up next to me and she said, "I hate those boots." That's what she told me. I'm praying with this lady at the altar and she's, "I hate those boots." And I turned around and go, "Really? I like them." She goes, "They don't look good on you." And then she moves on. I laugh. It didn't offend me. I didn't forget it. I'm a woman. Isn't that the truth? Women, we got to get a hold of ourselves. You know one thing's nice about guys? They do something or whatever, they forget it, and they move on. And for us women, we hold on to it. So you say something, we remember something you did 2 years ago, and we'll let you know. But isn't it fun? Isn't it fun to be a woman? I love being a woman. I can't wait till I'm a really, really old woman. I'm going to tell people what I really think. Yeah, and then you know what they're going to say? I'm going to be like 90 years old. I can just see it now. And I'm going to say, "Ooh, that don't look good on you." And they're going to kind of laugh, and they're going to go, "Oh, she's just old." And I'm going to be laughing inside, thinking I've been planning this for a long time. Well, we all know somebody has offended us, don't we? It's kind of funny. I told Brother Booker, though, I said, "You know what, Brother Booker? You are stuck with me because I ain't leaving." There was a time, though, that I kind of wanted to leave because I was getting offers all over the place. And I thought to myself, you know, that sounds pretty good. I mean, one person told me, said, "Beth, if you come to my church, you'll be on the board." And another person says, "I'll come pick you up myself and put you in my truck and take you to my church." And I thought, you know, that kind of is nice, and it's kind of nice and kind of nice. And then I was somewhere, and I was speaking at this big woman's conference, and this little 7-year-old girl came up to me. And I was talking to all these ladies. They're crying, you know, and doing my thing. And this little girl comes up, and she kind of pulls on my coattail. And I said, "Oh, how are you?" You know. And she said, "You go to church here?" And I looked at her. I go, "Oh, no, I don't. I'm the speaker." And then she goes, and then she looks at me. And with this sternness in her voice, she said, "You don't leave your church until God tells you." Ah. Oh. You talk about the hairs behind my neck. I mean, because she said it with such sternness and then left. This is the little girl. "You don't leave your church until God tells you." And I thought, whoa. So I went back home. I said, "I guess you're stuck with me for a little while longer." Well, what we don't want to do is get disconnected from the blessing. And what we want to do is whatever our hand findeth to do, just make it part of your life. Whatever your hand findeth to do, do it as unto the Lord. I did that when I had a business. I had this business, cleaning business. And I told us ladies, you know, I said, "Okay, we go into these houses. Whatever your hand findeth to do, do it as unto the Lord. So go into this house and you clean that house as if it's God's house." And we did. I didn't even hardly have to advertise at all. Because I had business pouring in. Plus, it helped that we had skirts on. You know, people knew we wouldn't steal. We looked like Christians. But let me tell you, when the anointing comes, I want to be in the right place. Don't you want to be in the right place? Because when he throws that cloak, I'm going to catch it. So do yourself a favor. Stay connected. Stay connected. Why? Because God doesn't only bless individuals. God blesses us all as a body. This is our family. This is our, he bless, when he pours it down, he pours it to all of us, not just me. It's all part of the message. So, when the Holy Ghost fell in the upper room, the Bible said, it was like a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house that they were sitting. Now, when I see that, I think, you know what, God, this thing's bigger than me. Matter of fact, I had something good. I was actually complaining to Brother Wilson. Well, I wasn't complaining. I think I was just kind of griping. We were talking, and we had had this revival for a long, long, long time. Long time. And so I asked Sister Booker, I said, would it be okay if I went up to that evangelist and asked him to go home? My pastor's a wonderful preacher. This evangelist was really good. I just wanted to hear my pastor. I said, can I have him go home? She told me, no, Beth. And she said, I want him to go home too. But I was telling Brother Wilson that, and he looked at me, and I was just sharing with him. I said, you know, we really want this guy to go home, because I really miss Brother Booker's preaching. And he looked at me, and he said, Beth, this isn't about you. And you know what? I looked at him, and I said, you're right. Keep preaching the word. Well, he stayed a while longer. This thing is bigger than you and me. When the blessings of God flow, they flow down from the head, from him, all the way out to us. And I told you, three times Elijah tried to get Elisha to go back. And then finally he says, what do you want from me? And he says, a double portion of your spirit. And God did just that to his life. In his life. And he actually filled him twice as much with twice as much power and twice as much anointing. But this would never have happened if he hadn't been faithful and if he hadn't been persistent. So let me encourage you, kids, be faithful, be persistent, be ready to grab that cloak when God throws it to you. We've all had times in our walk with God when we feel rejected and we feel out of place. Every single one of us. There's this dry place that's, those dry places are good for us because we pray harder. We seek harder. We may worship harder because we're kind of in a dry place. It's good for us. We say sometimes, what in the world's going on, though? Let me remind you of something. Just because he reminded me of it. So I'm just sharing it with you. Just a mama sharing it with you. God is preparing you for what he's already prepared for you. I'm going to say it again. God is preparing you for what he's already prepared for you. But if all you can see, I'm talking to you women too that we talked to this afternoon, if all you can see is your circumstances, then you're never going to see all that there is to see. So I come to tell you three things, three words. Just keep plowing. This is family day. I need you parents to keep plowing. It's imperative. Because if you keep plowing, your kids keep plowing. Stay focused. Keep being faithful. And hold on. I'm telling you, the reason I am who I am today is less about talent than about the fact that I just kept plowing. Don't underestimate where you are and what God wants to do through you. Some of you think I've always traveled, I've always been a psychologist, I've always been those things, my husband's always done these things. Nope. We've actually spent a lot of years plowing through some pretty dirty fields. When we first got in the church, my husband and I were the church janitors. And so when someone needed more toilet paper, they came to me. I supplied the toilet paper. If someone threw up in the vestibule, it was our job to clean it. That's okay. That's okay. Those experiences were good for us. Had I begun doing what I'm doing now, I don't think I could have sustained it. Because I was too immature spiritually. God needed me to work through a whole lot of stuff. But I'm telling you that some of you and some of you kids and some of you that were singing up here and some of you that are out there, you guys have more talent in your baby finger than I have in my entire body. This thing isn't about talent. This thing is not about education. No. God doesn't say, because you're educated, I choose you. He doesn't say that. Because you're wealthy, I choose you. Has nothing to do with it. Has nothing to do with it. So why me? I've asked God, why me? All I can figure, there ain't nothing special about me. There ain't. There's nothing special about me. I just figured I happened to be there and I was the only one in the field when he threw out the cloak and I grabbed it. That's all I can figure. You know where I notice that most Christians kind of miss it? When they feel like nothing's going right and they feel stagnant and they abandon their post. They end up missing their destiny. You're never going to catch that cloak if you get out of the field. You got to get to a place in your life where God can do what he wants to do in you so that he can do what he wants to do through you. I'm going to say it again because it's important. You got to get to the place that God can do what he wants to do in you so that he can do what he wants to do through you. And sometimes that means being in a place that you don't want to be. So you end up where God wants you to be. And so, what do you say we all get behind the plow? God, whatever you have for me to do, I'm going to do it. I've prayed for so many years. You know how that scripture that says, knock and it'll be opened unto you? And I would pray, God, you know, I'm going to knock and open it unto me, okay? And then he opens it unto me, right? And then I don't want to go through those doors. I really don't. I don't want to go through those doors. And so now I pray, okay, I'm going to knock and you open it up, God, and then I need you to kind of kick me through. Because I ain't as gutsy as I think. And sometimes it's uncomfortable. Like at one church, the pastor said, Beth, I want you to come, and you're going to come, and you're going to talk to the men. Huh? Talk to the men? Are you sure? Did I have fun? Don't give up, folks. Don't give up. This is not the time to give up. God's got a destiny for all of us. I love the scripture in Malachi. I love that book, the book of Malachi. And I love this scripture. It says, prove me now, saith the Lord of hosts. If I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall be no room enough to receive it. Can you imagine? That's what he says. He says, you just prove me. Because I'm going to show you. You're going to have so many blessings, you don't even know. You're just going to be overwhelmed. That's what God wants to do. That's why we don't sit around and complain. That's why we don't get hard on ourselves. And we believe God for the beautiful things he has for us. And we stop all that negative thinking like we talked about this morning. We just get behind the plow. And we just keep pushing. Because I'm telling you, we haven't seen anything yet. You think this church is going to be this size? Forget it. My husband back there says, man, Beth, you know what? They really need to be knocking out these walls. We're not going to get comfortable. There's too many people in Alabama. Let's stand. What do you say we make a decision tonight? If you have some doubts in your head, like, you know what, Beth? I've just been kind of struggling. I needed to hear that. I just got to get a hold of those reins, and I'm just going to stay in the field, and I'm just going to keep plowing. And when God has that special destiny for me, I'm going to be right there where I'm supposed to be, and I'm going to take a hold of that, and I'm going to walk it, and by faith, and do whatever it is that God intended for my life. What do you say we do that tonight? Let's just all come up and make that commitment to him. In Jesus' name,
Praise God. When you hit this altar, you need to begin to thank God for all the goodness. Thank Him for what He's doing in your life. Don't be focusing on what's not, but focus on what is. Don't be focusing on what you can't do or can't be. Focus on what God is doing in you right now. And begin to thank Him. As you thank Him, you move into the presence of God. God talks. God touches. God moves. Thank Him for the plow. Thank Him for the oxen. Thank Him for knee-deep manure. Thank Him for it all. Right where God has you. Right where God has you. Praise God. The Lord's Prayer begins, Our Father. Why don't you take someone's hand or lay your hand on someone? Help us, oh God. Help us to hear You. Help us to prosper in Your kingdom. Help us to please You. Help us to be a blessing to others. Help us, oh God, to be a vessel in Your hand. Help us, oh mighty God, to be useful. Help us, oh God, to hear Your voice. Help us, oh God, to respond to Your word. Help us, mighty God. Help us, mighty God. Help us, mighty God. Cause us, God, to walk in it, to walk up and down in it, to be a blessing to everyone we touch. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah. I give You praise, I magnify You. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Glory to God, glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Found me. But you know what happened? I was 16, going to be 17 years old. My friend and I had gone to Catholic church together. We only went to look at the boys. But we went together, and she was my best friend, and she moved away about 45 minutes away. And she actually got a Bible study from the assistant pastor. And her whole family went and received the gift of the Holy Ghost. And then she called me up on the phone, and I'm about 45 minutes away. And she says, Beth, you need to get the Holy Ghost or you're going to hell. That's what she told me. And I thought to myself, how rude that is. And after I hung up the phone, God started convicting my heart. When we were 15 years old, me and my friend together had said we really wanted to live for God. And we had decided at the age of 15 that when we grew up, we would become nuns. And you know what? I really believe that God looked down and He heard that. And He drew me. And so after she told me that, because she was so far away, I started going to all different churches. So I'm 16 years old. I'm actually walking miles to go and visit different churches. And I didn't know what I was looking for. But all I knew is that when I went to that apostolic church, I felt the presence of God, and that's what I was looking for. And so I would go to one church, and I'd sit there, and I'd pray, and I'd look around, and I'd try to worship God, and He wasn't there. So then the next time I went to another church, and I did this week after week. And then finally, one of the ladies in the church, she told me, I'll come pick you up. And she picked me up. The problem was, my mom said, you can't go. You can't go to church. Because she started seeing changes that scared her. And so I went from being this wild teenager to being this person. I said, Mom, And nobody told me this. Nobody preached to me. But God convicted me in my heart, and I said, Mom, I need a dress. Now, I was on student council and all that in school. We were really poor. And she said, okay. So she took me to Montgomery Ward's. Do you guys remember Montgomery Ward's? And we went on the sale rack, the clearance rack. And she told me, she said, you can pick out 3 dresses. Now, that's huge in my family because we didn't buy new clothes. I was so happy. I bought 3 new dresses. I wore those 3 new dresses to school and to church for an entire year. Did I care? No. It never dawned on me that I only had 3 dresses. And that I was wearing those 3 dresses all the time. My mom started noticing a difference. She started seeing the Holy Ghost. My mom ended up coming to God and receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. So did my brother. And I thank God for that. All because a little girl told me that I needed the Holy Ghost, that I needed to seek God. And you know what? It was in my heart. So don't underestimate, you kids, what you can do, what God's got for you to do. And I can't tell you how happy I am. I mean, I am so happy. I've never regretted coming to the Lord. He's good to me.
Praise God. That's very Larry Booker-esque. Because when I think about him, I think about this long-haired freak holding this big Jesus, hippie Jesus Bible and praying and didn't know how to pray and didn't know what the Bible meant. Just looking for God. Just hungry for God. There's a Larry Booker in this city. There's a Beth Bouse in this city. And there's a convergence and an intersecting of lives and paths. And all this business she's talking about, the mantle of God, the call of God, being there when God is ready to pull the trigger on your situation. That is so important. And it's not hard for God, because he organizes stars and planets and all kinds of difficult things. But I think one of the most difficult things he does is getting people to show up at the intersection of the Word of God and a miracle and a hungry heart. One of the most difficult things is to find somebody that'll say, yes, God, because you can't tell when it's going to happen. And I love what she's talking about tonight. Just keep plowing. It's coming right there. Just keep plowing. And you're telling me, but you don't know what I'm walking in. Yeah, I know you're walking behind oxen, and I know what you're walking in. That's where the miracle's going to come. I appreciate this so much tonight, Sister Bounce. I really do. Once more, let's just lift our hearts, lift our hands, and let's give God praise and magnify him. Hallelujah. Would somebody say, God, I just want to be there when you open that door. I want to be there when the moment is just right. I want to be there when I intersect with that Larry Booker or that Beth Bowser. I want to be there, God, and used of you. Anybody here want to be used of God? You want to please God? You want to serve God? You want to be a valuable vessel in the house of God and in the kingdom of God? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Let's just sing that together again. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.